it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the most popular segment on the Drew Marshall Show is about to start as soon as Erica gets over to the Facebook live stream. What are you doing? What, are you checking your email? Why don't you have some more curry? We're losing a generation of respect, integrity, and honor, a generation who were not afraid of hard work and sacrifice. My dad is that generation. Growing up at the farm taught him more about life than Google.
Googling.
So I thought it's time to listen to that generation. Please, put your hands together for my father, Mr. Grant Marshall!
Yeah. Good afternoon, Drew and Tim.
Hello, sir.
Mr. Marshall, how are you now?
I'm fine. How was everything down in your end of the woods?
Quite woody. Meanwhile, back on the farm, we should have had a sponsor, Dad. I mean, we're coming to the end of the Drew Marshall Show, and I never got a corporate sponsor.
One.
What was that? Oh, Chapman's.
Yeah.
That's right. Dad did the original voiceover.
He did, yes.
Yeah.
Well done.
We were on a first-name basis there.
You and Ashley? That's right, Mr. Chapman. Well, the reason I got you, Dad, is because I thought you sounded a little like Wilford Brimley from the oatmeal commercials.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I think I do know that guy.
Big mustache.
Well, with the gloves.
I used to be paired up with Mr. Wilson. You know, the guy that over the fence? In Tim.
Oh, Tim the Tool.
Okay.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Dad, listen.
Well, I think his name was Wilson, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
We've moved on. Okay. So.
However.
Listen, I want to know, I thought, you know, we talked about this earlier. I think our listeners need to hear a little bit about what the difference in cultures were. Like, back in your day, back in the 40s, you know, late 30s, 40s, 50s, you grew up in a very different area. Now, we've talked all about what it was like growing up at the farm, but let's talk more about what life was like in your culture back then. So culturally, what would be different about the time you grew up to now? What's different?
Well, I think as children and young youths, we paid attention to our parents, probably a lot more than they do today.
Is that because of beatings?
No, not at all. I think it's called respect.
Oh, yes.
In fact, I know it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you respect your mom and your dad. You call your uncle and aunts by their uncle and aunts, so-and-so. And,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot more respect, and things were done as they used to be. And then through the 40s, the war came along, and the ladies had to enlist in the factories, and then that certainly gave them a lot more freedom than they'd ever have, and they earned paychecks, and that era after 1945, some of the ladies, their paycheck was really more than their husbands.
Right. So that was the start of the end of the world then.
Well, it wasn't, but it certainly... They had certainly more freedom, and of course, rightly so.
I'm hilarious.
And they carried that on until today.
See, that's a thing that that a lot of people don't realize, is that women just didn't work until the war came along, and then they had to work. And then when they had to work, they got a taste of work, a little bit of independence, started making more, and then all of a sudden the household income grew as well, mm-hmm. because then there was double income, and then the economy just went nutso.
And society was like, oh, they can work. Okay, that's okay.
Isn't that so foreign to how everybody thinks today? Just ridiculously. I mean, talk about old school. Yeah. That's crazy.
And now we have childcare and all the rest that goes with it. And we've seen a lot. We've seen a lot of changes in the last 30, 40 years for sure, Drew.
Well, and okay, let's talk about changes in transportation as well. I mean, you have told stories about... you know, getting behind a horse on the cutter.
Yes, that's right. And then the cutter was winter, and in the very, very olden times, it was the buggy in the summer. But my dad had an old Ford. It was a two-door Ford, and he had it right from his younger days. And in 1939, there was a big decision on our farm to have a new car or to have the hydro put in. Well, let's guess what happened? You might think it was the Hydra. Well, it wasn't. It was a new car.
Now, was your mom bugged at that?
A 1939 Chev.
1939. Was your mother bugged about the fact that she couldn't get Hydro, but Dad got a car?
Well, maybe the old Ford was done. But anyway, we didn't have Hydro then. As I was growing up, until after the war, and then, lo and behold, the Hydro went past on the concession. But now we had to get our own pools from the bush. Swamp. And we finally got, because the electricians, of course, were busy. Everybody was scrambling for Hydro, and we were one of them. But actually, we eventually got it, Drew. We eventually.
That's incredible, man.
But that was a big decision through the war.
And let's talk about morals, which is an awkward subject because, I think anybody that thinks through this conversation says, I don't want to be too preachy because I know at the best of times, maybe the worst of times, that my morals, maybe I didn't make the right choices. And so you don't want to sound like a hypocrite, but the morals were quite different in your day than today.
Oh, they certainly were. We haven't been to a wedding forever the couples haven't lived together and all that stuff. But I remember as a youngster, a neighbor lady, a young girl, got pregnant. And now we kind of knew what was happening because she disappeared to Toronto. She was going to work in the city, but...
They shipped her off.
They did. And it was not well thought of. She was kind of,
a trollop.
Yes, and her family suffered as well. Anyway, she did come back, and she brought the little girl with her. And without sounding preachy, this little girl, her name was Heather, and she grew up to be a young lady and has family of her own. In fact, she may even be listening.
Heather, on behalf of somebody who, my birth mother, she was shipped off as well in order to have me, and then you guys came along and adopted me, so,
right.
Yeah.
And things worked out, but it was not thought of, and as far as any refreshments go, Orangeville, of course, was dry as a chip, if there was going to be any beer brought back, it had to be brought up from the city.
Hold on. Did you just say that Orangeville, Ontario, the closest, city or town or whatever near you guys, was dry? There was no alcohol?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes. The two watering holes, and they're still in existence today, and they should be named. One was Loretta, which is out to the east.
Oh, Loretta, yeah.
And there's a hotel there. And then over to the west on the way to Guelph was Erin.
Which is right near where I live now.
Well, that's right. There's the Bush Home Inn.
Are you kidding me? The Bush Home was your watering hole? I still go there. I mean,
nice.
I go there now.
Nice.
So those people, those hotels were
isn't
in existence in the 30s for sure.
So why was Orangeville dry? Was it because of religious stuff? Must
well,
have been.
It just voted that way, and it was temperance for a long, long time. And there's other towns were the same.
I had no idea about that, Dad. That's interesting. Because Orangeville, Mr. Orange was, that's who it was named after. But was he, what correlation did he have with the Irish Protestant thing?
Well, there was a big temperance movement going through in that...
that time.
In the 20s and 30s, I mean, liquor was the evil, and... there were temperance unions, and there was a whole lot of, and liquor was not to be tolerated.
Now, there's something I don't know much about, the temperance unions. Tim, have you ever studied the temperance unions?
Yeah, they're generally run by women.
Religious women?
Sure. Like our men are falling apart, and it's an evil, and they're not going to work, and kind of stuff, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. No, it was quite big, and there was probably a street named Temperance Avenue or something.
Yeah.
And every town had a church street for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
every town had
I'm surprised
one.
They weren't the same street. That's so every interesting.
Every town has a church
yeah.
street.
All right, well, final question. As you can imagine, driving around that neck of the woods, you'd maybe get on your bike and ride around, or you'd walk through the bush and you visit neighbors, and then eventually you get the old jalopy going, the car jalopy.
Thanks, Chet.
Yeah, and you know, you must have had some neighbors and so if you and I were to drive around that neck of the woods today, Dad, you would point out at this farm and point out at that farm, and
I know them by their old names.
Yeah,
our farm was surrounded by the name Buchanan, and there were three on each side, Tom and Alec and Fred, and then a little over on the second line, there was the Hood family, Bill and Ross, and they were farmers, of course, but they didn't speak to each other. They were on the outs, and Bill's wife was Rena, and Ross's wife was Rita.
See, how does he get? He just can't keep going like this.
I know their farms, and that's where they lived. And around they had a terribly long lane with the family called Still, Alf Still, and
that's not a good name for the temperance time.
No, and then you got the Mona Center and the general store there. And then the community hall, which my grandfather, they built a brand new one in 1951, and my grandfather Josiah cut the ribbon for it, and then up on the hill, and a well-known family was Turnbull, and they were pioneers, and they had two sons called Neil and Don, and they were farm people.
I don't want to scare you, Dad, or freak out, but you realize you're 85. You shouldn't remember all this kind of stuff.
That's sometimes I do.
Oh.
I guess last summer, Mary Lou and I, we took a drive up through, but she's not as familiar as I would be. So.
And you gave her the commentary as you were driving around.
Yeah, who lives in there and who lives over there.
You know, people have asked me what they think I should sort of do. After the radio show, and Dad, I think you and I should start a business. I think we should do tours of Dufferin County. What do you think? Is that possible at all?
I think I could give you a little bit of information.
Yeah,
for sure.
We could do Grant Marshall tours of farm country.
And even Drew, even to bring it up to date, I get accused of it here in Richmond Hill. You know, people lived in that house. And
yeah.
I remember having that funeral out of this house and over in that street. So I still do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Even in modern times.
We'd be on top of the Empire State Building and someone would come up and go, Mr. Marshall! And the whole the rest of us would roll our eyes and go, someone else knows, Dad. Ridiculous.
Oh.
Well, Dad, listen, this is your second last time on the show.
Oh, well, good to talk to you.
And so would you come back for our very, very last show, June 29th?
I certainly would. It'll be there with bells on.
And we get you into the studio. Would that be okay?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Good, good. We'll give you some ice cream.
It'll be a reunion time and a farewell time, I guess. But,
And bring a chicken for the toilet.
Yeah, bring a chicken for the toilet.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Dad. Take care. I love you.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Bye-bye. Grant Marshall on the Drew Marshall Show. Meanwhile, back on the farm. It's quite a different time, you know. And this is why I wanted to get my dad on the show. He's got all these great stories. And when he goes, they're gone. And he's not going to sit down and record them. He doesn't know how to work a phone hardly. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's not going to use a digital thing,
For sure.
He's not going to write it down.
Yeah.